Justine Galloway used to be a pretty fast marathon runner. She's not anymore. But since she slowed down, she's gained more attention and set a Guinness World Record. Only a game's Martin Kessler starts at the beginning.
Justine Galloway started running because of her dad.
When I was a little girl, he would do his marathon training, and the last block, he would basically pick me up and I'd go for a run around the block with him.
Justine grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. Her father, James, was a civil engineer. And for that final block, Justine would try to outrun her dad.
I'm pretty sure he let me win. Regardless, he had ran 20 miles, so I think my legs were a little fresher, but yeah.
But when Justine was 6 years old, the family learned that James had Parkinson's disease. For a few years, James continued to run. He even completed a marathon after his diagnosis, but eventually he had to stop. Justine says she really started to understand what the disease meant when she was 10 years old. That's when her dad was laid off from his job.
And we think it's because they knew he had Parkinson's.
Justine's mom, Virginia, went back to work as an office manager.
So it just kind of changed our whole family dynamic. But I think because my dad was laid off, I interacted with my dad a lot more and had the opportunity to really spend time with him.
Yeah, how would, when you guys spent time together, what would you normally do or talk about?
We'd fight over the remote. And we just talk about normal stuff. I mean, we disagree about politics, but I was young at that point and I didn't know, you know. But as I got older, I talked a lot about my running with him.
While the disease had forced James to give up the sport, Justine kept going.
I mean, running always came really easy to me. You know, it was kind of mindless. Like, it just, I could go forever.
Justine ran in high school. Her dad would always pick her up from her meets. In 1998, she went to Rutgers to study engineering. And as a sophomore, she walked onto the cross-country and track teams. Justine never raced more than 5 kilometers. But when her college running career was over, she started taking on longer distances.
Watching my dad do the marathons, I always wanted to do it.
Justine ran her first marathon, New York City, in 2002. She ran it again in 2004. And while James couldn't join Justine for the final block of her training runs, he found other ways to be involved.
When I used to complain about not wanting to run, he was the person who would be like, stop complaining and go run.
Justine ran Boston and Philadelphia. At the 2009 New York City Marathon, she set a personal record at 3 hours, 16 minutes. A year later, just before she turned 30, her father passed away.
I always thought my dad was going to outlive all of us just because with Parkinson's, you know, it's a horrible disease, but you live with it, right? So I think it was a shock to all of us. But I remember that week going for a run and I just felt like the run meant so much more. Like he was a runner. I am a runner, and I think that's one thing we always had in common, no matter what we disagreed on, was our joy of running. So I just remember going for a run that week, and it was awesome. Like, it was just, I was connecting to him.
A year later, Justine entered the Boston Marathon. During the race, she felt like something was wrong. She was slow. She thought maybe her electrolytes were low. At mile 18, she dropped out. Justine figured it was just an off day. In fact, it would be 6 years before she'd attempt another marathon. A few weeks after dropping out of Boston, Justine fell during a run. A week or so later, she noticed something was off with her stride.
My left leg started kind of just staying up in the air too long. And then when it come down, it would kind of swing out to the left. I couldn't describe the injury. I just knew I wasn't able to run. Like, it wasn't mindless anymore. My left leg was just, it felt like a piece of wood, and I was just dragging my leg with me.
It started to affect Justine's walking, too.
It got to the point where I would have to walk to the grocery store, and I'd, like, start to cry because it took so much out of me to walk there because my left leg just wasn't responding.
Justine saw doctors, orthopedists, and eventually neurologists.
A lot of the doctors I would see were like, I don't know what this is, so it must not be anything, and therefore you're fine. It was extremely frustrating, just because I felt like no one was listening to me.
After about a year and a half of doctor's visits, one neurology resident had an idea. Maybe she had something called dyskinesia, an involuntary movement that sometimes affects individual body parts.
I started Googling dyskinesia and runners and runners dyskinesia, and I found an article on runners dystonia. Basically, the article said it happened to endurance runners around their 30s, which is weird because that's how old I was, and that they would just have their leg would not respond. And they compared it to like if you played Mozart your whole life and then all of a sudden you couldn't play that one song. It's like your finger forgot how to do it. And so I bought in the article and the neurologist was like, oh my God, this is what you have.
Justine finally had an explanation for why she could no longer run. Runner's dystonia.
The way I explain it, and obviously I'm sure a lot of people could explain it a lot better, but it's like the wiring from your brain to your leg is fried.
Do you think it's just a coincidence that your father had Parkinson's and that you have this, or do you guess that there's some genetic connection?
I'm not sure, but I just, in some ways, it kind of found it ironic because I watched my dad lose running and I was like, I'll never lose running until I have to. And I didn't think I was going to have to make that decision at 31. You know, I thought I'd make that decision, you know, in my 70s or my 80s.
Without running to anchor her, Justine decided to leave New Jersey in 2013.
A lot of my friends in New Jersey were runners, and I was like, I'm done with the running community, and I came out to California, and I was going to swim and bike, and I was going to swear off all runners.
And here's where I need to tell you about one important discovery Justine had made during her physical therapy. Sometimes during treadmill work, her physical therapist would ask her to run backwards.
And I would be like, I could do this forever, and it was weird that I could do it forever.
Justine connected with another woman with runner's dystonia who had discovered the same thing.
And so when I was talking to her, the other thing she says she does is like zigzag running. So it seems it's just confusing your brain enough.
So after Justine moved to San Diego in 2013, she started going for runs backwards. At first, she fell a lot.
I started running longer and longer backwards, like 5 mile runs and 6 mile runs and 8 miles runs. And it felt good. Like it felt, there was a different toll on my body because, you know, you're not meant to run backwards. But from a mindless standpoint, I was able to get into that zone where it was mindless, where I didn't have to think about how to run backwards. I just ran backwards.
Justine joined a running club. She perfected a technique for falling that minimized damage. And in 2014, she ran her first backwards half marathon. Her brother went with her to make sure she didn't run into anything. In 2015, running with her brother, sister, and future husband Dustin, she finished a half marathon in 2 hours and 46 minutes. It was more than an hour and 15 minutes slower than her best forward time. But it gave her the Guinness World Record for fastest backwards half marathon. Then in 2017, 6 years since she dropped out of Boston, Justine entered the New York City Marathon. She was raising money for Parkinson's research. Running forward, Justine had once finished New York in 3 hours and 16 minutes. Running backwards, it took her 6 hours and 6 minutes.
Which was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Justine explains that going backwards, you land on your forefeet over and over again. And after hours of running, she says it felt like she had no more flesh on the balls of her feet. Today, Justine is an engineer and project manager. She's able to walk forward comfortably now. She's not sure if she'll ever run another marathon, but she plans to keep on running backwards.
I find it to be more rewarding than I did running forward. And a different kind of rewarding, like not a rewarding like I'm going to break this time or I may come in this place in my age group, but more rewarding, like, holy crap, I just ran 11 miles backwards. Like that's cool.
Do you think you would be where you are now, still running, if it hadn't been for seeing what your father went through?
No, I don't. I think seeing my dad go through what he went through has made me want to continue my running, and the backwards part is just the way I do it.
And what do you think he would think and say about what you're doing now?
My dad was a very funny guy, very sweet guy and a very funny guy, and I think he'd get a kick out of me running backwards. I'm sure he'd have some ideas of shirts I should wear or something, but my dad was always happy for me and always proud of me.
And not that it really matters. Justine lost that Guinness record a couple years ago. But don't worry, she may have just set it again last weekend with a backwards half marathon time of 2 hours, 19 minutes, and 45 seconds. The Guinness people still have to certify it.
That's only a Games Martin Kessler.